Good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm Chrissy Mernon, and my guest is in Austin. Annie Spillman is the state director of the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And we're going to talk about what the coronavirus pandemic has done to business in Texas, how the National Federation of Independent Business has been affected, and what they're doing to help. So thank you for joining us, Annie. Tell me about your job at the NFIB, what the NFIB is, who it represents, and what you do, please.
Hi, yes, thank you for having me. I'm glad you are willing to listen to the small business community out there. So again, my name is Annie Spillman. I'm the state director for NFIB. And we are the only small business advocacy organization really in the country. We've got an NFIB at every state capital in our nation. In Texas, we've got one of the largest memberships. We proudly represent about 20,000 small business owners in the state. And what's unique about NFIB is that we really represent business owners that represent pretty much every economic sector of the state, from manufacturing to retail to services industry, agriculture, you name it. We really represent a broad spectrum of members. And, you know, we're one member, one vote. Our members really tell us what to do when it comes to advocacy at our state and national capitals. And that's why we do have so many members. I'm also our lobbyist, and we actually have another lobbyist on staff here in Texas. But I don't just come up with ideas to go run over to the Capitol or to the governor and talk about. These small business owners of ours tell us what their biggest problems and priorities are. And that's what creates our legislative agenda. And then that's what we bring forward to our policymakers. And then at the end of the day, it's really a full circle, because when votes come up and legislation is brought up in committee or, you know, on the House floor or Senate floor, we let them know how it's going to affect small business owners. And if they don't vote the way that our members need them to vote in order to protect their right to own and operate a business in the state, then they don't have a very good voting record with us, and we let it be known in the communities. So our members hold us accountable, and we hold legislators accountable.
And aren't small businesses the backbone of the economy, not just in Texas, but really worldwide?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, small business owners in the state of Texas account for about 99% of businesses in the state. In Texas, small business owners employ well over 4 million workers. And obviously right now it's a critical time because many of them have had to shut down. There's 2.5 million small businesses in the state of Texas alone. But nationally, small businesses account for 50% of the GDP. So when a small business owner is not doing well and is having to shut their doors, it essentially shuts down the economy in our local communities and nationally.
Before coronavirus, before the pandemic hit, what were the concerns of businesses? And then how has that changed because of the pandemic?
Right. Well, I have to tell you that small business owners are probably the most resilient people out there. You know, they're the ones that were the trailblazers, they're entrepreneurs, they're innovators. They started their own business, and they did so that they could employ people. You know, they're the most selfless people I've ever met in my life. But before, their biggest problems and priorities, NFIB has a research foundation. We have a chief economist, which is very unique among other associations. And so in order to stay in touch with our members, we poll them frequently. And before this pandemic, it was all about uncertainty. So it actually flows into what we're dealing with now, but it was uncertainty over economic conditions, which is what we're dealing with, uncertainty over government action, uncertainty over government regulation. And then following those top three, you know, it was cost of health insurance, burdensome regulations, tax. In Texas, tax complexity was a big issue for them. And then, of course, you know, you get into your federal taxes. But these small business owners, they're not afraid to, they're willing to pay their fair share. They never ask for handouts. They don't want handouts. As a matter of fact, they want to be the ones providing for what they call their team members, who are their staff and their employees. And, so really their concerns were just being able to keep their doors open, having the opportunity to compete in the state and in the country with these big, you know, corporations. And, you know, when I've been asked by legislators if, you know, if we're opposed to these, quote, corporate handouts or tax incentives for corporations to come into the state and headquarter, the answer was no, because our small business owners were like, bring them in, because we can work with them. Just give us a chance to compete. But those were the issues going into the pandemic. But really, when a small business owner has any sort of uncertainty, which they always are going to have, they're operating on thin margins. And like I said, their main priority is to keep the people on their teams paid and to put food on the table. As a matter of fact, small business owners are generally the last ones to get paid after they make payroll. And oftentimes they don't get a paycheck. But if they're uncertain about anything, they can't expand their business. They can't hire more people. They can't offer bonuses. They can't offer benefits. And actually, it's bad for them because when that happens, they're not competing with these larger corporations that can woo, you know, the employees away from them and offer these, you know, fancy incentive packages.
Yeah. And so, okay, so all that was going on and then this pandemic hits and that changes everything, right? Doesn't it? Yeah. So what's going
on? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so when this first hit, you know, I think if anything, our members, our small business members said, you know what, this is just something else. We can get through it. We made it through the recession. We made it through this and that. I don't think that they knew the gravity of the situation when it first hit. As a matter of fact, when we polled our members in the beginning of this, within a week's time, as you know, everything has changed so quickly, minute by minute with this. Within a week's time, it went from 23% of our members feeling like they would be affected by this pandemic to 76%, and now almost 100% of our members. And, you know, their concern, this is what just makes my heart swell when I talk about small businesses. Their concern wasn't, I'm not going to net any profit this year. Their concern was, every time I talk to a member, I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to let people go. And one woman said, I've been in business for 27 years. I've never had to let one person go. And so their first concern was, what do I do to keep people on staff and keep them paid? And so they're, you know, if they could, they furloughed them. And then we go week by week by week. And as you know, there's the Paycheck Protection Program and then the economic injury disaster loans offered by the SBA. When they thought that that was going to be available, but they were having trouble initially getting those loans, they had to ultimately start letting people go one by one. And it's not only morally devastating to them, but as a small business owner, number one, when you're having to ask for assistance, that's the first sign of trouble. And then two, when you're having to let people go, it's oftentimes you're seeing the writing on the wall that they're ultimately going to have to shut the doors forever.
Oh, my gosh. And so that's what a lot of businesses are facing right now.
Yeah. And I will tell you on one note. So we had about, when we polled our members, 77% of them nationwide said that they applied for the, and that's obviously a very high percentage. 77% of our small business members in the nation said that they applied for that PPP loan, the Paycheck Protection Loan. So the majority of them, before that money ran out on April 17, the majority of them, 80%, had not received the loan. So at that point, that's when they were having to make decisions to let people go and to shut their doors. And, you know, just multiple decisions. And because they still, if you consider this, going through this pandemic, being forced to close their doors as executive order from the governor and then from the president, but still having to pay off debt obligations, mortgages and utilities, and still to make payroll. And then on top of it, in phase two, when Congress passed legislation that said, oh, and then also we're going to need you to pay this additional paid sick leave and expand the Family Medical Leave Act and pay additionally on that. You know, it all sounds really good, and those are great benefits. But when a small business owner, number one, already operates on thin margins in a normal world, but then two, is not even operating at all, and then having to offer, you know, these additional benefits, it's impossible. And so it's hard to offer benefits to someone who's not even employed anymore.
Yeah, I see. That's the breaking point, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, at this point, I will say, when Congress went and refilled the well, as it were, more money was put in. And because it was, the program was sort of exposed in that many publicly traded corporations were getting millions and millions of dollars from this money that was supposed to be set aside for small businesses. And 80% of small businesses hadn't even received the money when the initial pool ran out. When they refilled the money, now it's been about 2 weeks, they actually said this money needs to go to these small lenders, these small banks that actually service small businesses. As a matter of fact, half of the applicants for small businesses submitted their application through a smaller local bank. So the federal government said, put the money into these small banks, and small banks, you must fulfill the loan applications of these smaller businesses, and generally based on their revenue and obviously their employee size. So they remedied that situation. So now at this point, about half of small businesses have received the Paycheck Protection Loan, and actually 80% now have either received it or been advised by their bank that they're going to receive it. That's good news. But what we're doing right now, NFIB is an organization. We're making recommendations to the Small Business Administration and to the Treasury, because a lot of people don't know this, but when Congress initially passed this assistance program to help small businesses, ultimately the goal was to help keep people employed so they didn't have to go on unemployment. Congress passed it. The SBA kind of twisted and reinterpreted these rules, and now the money that is there to help these small businesses kind of stay afloat during this uncertain time, they said 75% needs to be spent on payroll. Well, guess what? They don't even have a payroll right now because they don't even have people working. They've all been laid off and they're on unemployment. And then only 20% of the money to go to small businesses that they would not have to pay back from the federal government was to go to utilities and debt obligations and mortgages. Well, it sort of needed to be flipped. Because they're even having trouble getting people to come back and receive essentially free money for not working. They can't even find their employees, or the employees are responding that they want to stay on unemployment because they would be making more on unemployment than they would be from the employer. So that's a problem that we're having to deal with right now. And NFIB has asked Congress to waive the 75-25% requirement in the way that this Paycheck Protection Loan is going to be allocated. So that's one thing that we're working on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you say that some of the businesses have asked people to come back, but so some people are scared. I mean, you know, they don't want to go anywhere where they have to deal with anybody. And then, as you said, the others, because the federal government for unemployed people, it's my understanding the federal government is providing $600 a week additionally on top of state unemployment benefits. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And, you know, and I don't want to sound insensitive because, like I said, if anybody cares for their employees who they consider team members and family, it's the small business community. So, you know, many of my members were calling when this first happened saying, can you help me get my folks this unemployment insurance? And consider this, before this time, now a lot of people don't know the way that the UI system works within the states, but employers throughout the year, it's like insurance, any other insurance, right? They pay into it, and then so there's this pool of money that employers actually pay into. It's part of their requirement to employ people in the state. But when it's just like normal insurance, when employees start to draw from it, the rates go skyrocketing. And so what we're concerned about for the long term for these employers, again, it's all on the backs of these small businesses. Now we've got millions and millions of people drawing from UI, and they're not willing to get off of it because they're sort of like you said, it's a bucket of things. You know, they're scared to go back, or if they're in the service industry and the governor has opened it 25%, they know that they go back to work and they say, well, if I'm only going to be working maybe 5 hours, I'm not going to get enough tips or hourly wage to cover my cost of living right now. I'm going to make more on UI. But more of these people are drawing UI, the rates are going off the roof. So continuing on into an economy that we don't know how it's going to look in the next year or 2 years. And these employers not only are now having to pay skyrocketing UI rates, they're having to do paid sick leave. We don't know what other regulations are coming forward. And then when we have polled our members, they're terrified about increased liability. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad actors out there. And we know that they're going to use, you know, you see the lawyer commercials every day. They're going to use this to find somebody out there and convince them that they need to sue their employer, or just somebody that went and walked in to get a cup of coffee somewhere. And they could say, I feel like you have exposed me to the, you know, COVID-19, and now I've got a lawsuit. Right now, what we're seeing after all the loan stuff and the figuring out the funding and the assistance, now when we're pulling our members, one of the biggest things that they're worried about is liability, because they're just sitting ducks, and these people don't have in-house lawyers. They're the most vulnerable of the population. So we're really concerned about increased liability on small businesses. So NFIB is going to be working with Congress and then, you know, Governor Abbott and then our legislature here to see what we can do to waive some of the, you know, employer liability moving forward.
So you want to shield them. Our guest this morning is Annie Spillman. She is the state director of NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. We're on the phone with her. She is in Austin. So, you know, Annie, as you're talking and you're all of these things hitting business people, I can see, and you said a lot of them operated on a thin margin before this hit. I can see where some just kind of give it up right now. Just say, you know, I can't do this anymore. I'm at the breaking point.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. I can tell you again, you know, I mentioned at the forefront of the interview that our members are the most resilient people small business owners are. And I generally don't hear defeat in their voice. But when I'm talking to them, unfortunately, I'm hearing defeat. And I have to tell you that while we totally appreciate the position that Governor Abbott is in, because he's got to toe a very delicate balance in respecting the health and safety of employees and customers, as do our small business owners. But, you know, it's almost like a slap in the face when they see these large retailers like Lowe's and Walmart and Target operating at full capacity, 100%. And these small business owners right now are told, okay, you can open, but it's either got to be to-go operations, or you can only open at 25% capacity. It doesn't make sense. It makes sense that we would have to be careful about the health and safety. But if anybody could practice safety protocols with masks and making sure everybody is disinfecting and staying 6 feet apart, it's the smaller businesses. So I have to say that on top of losing revenue, having to let people go, and then the total uncertainty of the future, these small businesses, like you said, are just kind of like throwing their hands in the air and going, we give up, because nobody cares about us. Nobody's thinking about us. They're letting Walmart operate at full capacity, but they've shut us down. And they're upset. They're demoralized. I mean, it's just an awful time. And I hate to be this depressing voice, but I am confident that, you know, many of them will, if they're having to shut down for maybe a year, that hopefully they'll come back and that their customers will come back. That's actually a concern when we polled our members at this point, was the fear that they would not be getting back their customers. And that's, you know, it's just everything kind of coming at them at once. And obviously these people are, they're people too. They have families to feed and bills to pay, but I have to admire them that they are doing all they can, because they're mostly concerned about their employees and their families and their bills.
Oh yeah. You know, I was reading somewhere about a small business person was saying, of course we are extremely concerned about health because we are the business. If I get sick, you know, my business goes down. So I understand that they, yes, very concerned about liability, you know, and, you know, a lot of times their employees are their family members in a small business, and, you know, yeah, they want to keep everybody healthy, but like you said, they need to eat too. And if they go under, that's more people on the unemployment line.
Right. And, you know, and I have to tell you that before this pandemic, small business owners of anyone are so conscientious about being compliant with ADA stuff and, you know, local regulations and health and OSHA rules and Department of Labor rules. They stay up at night trying to think about how they can continue to be compliant, because guess what? If they're not compliant, they're going to be hit with a fine, or they're going to be shut down, or they're going to be labeled a dirty business. So going into the pandemic, they're the most prepared to be compliant and to follow these safety protocols. And I think, you know, and we, and I have to appreciate Governor Abbott and his team, because they reached out to NFIB And that's what I really want to let our members know, and the small businesses out there that aren't our members, that, you know, we've been working 24 hours a day with our policymakers in Congress and with the governor's office, and they've reached out to NFIB as a resource because they know that, you know, we are the closest to the small business community and to the real, you know, Main Street, not Wall Street. And, you know, and we advise the governor, if any person or entity is the most prepared during something like this, it's the small business. Because, I mean, while they don't have in-house compliance officers or CPAs or lawyers, they do it themselves. These owners are the ones mopping the floors and taking the trash out. They are the most, they've got their, you know, nose to the grindstone. They know their community. They know their employees. They know their customers. So they are going to be the ones that know how to make sure that they follow all the rules and are safety compliant. And that's what we've relayed to the governor's office. And so we do appreciate that Tuesday in his press conference that he did continue to open some more businesses, which is a good step in the right direction. But we've got to figure it out because the long-term effects of the economic disaster is, I think, going to far outweigh what we're dealing with this pandemic. And, you know, it's going to affect your state and local taxes. It's going to affect our federal taxes. It's going to affect everything because when you don't have businesses operating, you don't have people employed, they're not paying into the state. So we're going into next legislative session in Texas. And in Texas, our legislative session is every other year. So our next legislative session starts January 2021. We're going to go in with an extreme budget shortfall, which is not going to help with our infrastructure, our transportation, our school funding, everything. I mean, it's just a disaster. And so how do we get that back? We open up these small businesses and trust that they are responsible enough to protect their employees and protect their customers.
Oh, because if they're not, I mean, the whole world's going to know pretty quickly.
Correct. If they're not, shut them down. And we're going to start, you know, seeing increases in the COVID stuff. And I agree, you know, we need to be cautious. And I think that's what the governor's doing. We also need to trust these people who have accounted for 50% of the GDP, who have been the economic backbone of our communities and our country for years, who are the trailblazers. They were the trailblazers of this country. And we need to trust their resilience. We need to trust that they're responsible. We need to trust that they're going to take care of their communities just like they always have. You know, 250% of the money that goes into charities and local communities comes from small businesses. And I know it's above 100%, but that's what we're saying is these corporations aren't doing it. When you see the school children that are in Little League, the back of their shirts, the sponsors don't say, you know, J.P. Morgan. They say Bob's Chop House on there. I mean, it's the local guys that are taking care of our community. So what we're kind of saying to our policymakers right now is that we understand the position you're in. We understand that you have to protect from the spread of this virus, but you also have to trust our small businesses to do the right thing, open up, employ people, and get people back to work and start making revenue so that, you know, our state and local taxes can be refilled. And the world goes on and we continue to move on. But in this new world, you know, it's a totally new world. But guess what? It was hundreds of years ago when it was a new world and they were the trailblazers and they were the ones that set up shop and created the Main Street.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You know, they opened up a business and then their business expanded. So they hired more people and then they grew. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I guess you see a cycle of that going on now, too, huh?
Yeah. You know, and what we have really appreciated to kind of move from a sort of depressing tone to a positive tone. We've got a lot of small business owners that have transitioned their business into a different business to respond to this COVID. We have a lot of people in the manufacturing business that have created those, you know, the shields that you see at the HEB or some of the other places, those plastic, they call them spit shields. But many of our small business owners that were doing something else have started making those. And then those that have used, you know, delivery trucks or some of their food items or restaurants that have turned their restaurants into grocery stores and they're selling, you know, their produce and their meat in local communities. And then we've got one that's actually in the Coastal Bend. It's Coastal Bend Distillery. And I'm sure you've heard this in other situations, but they're, you know, a brewery. And, you know, immediately when they took action immediately and they bought the product to start making hand sanitizer out of their brewery. And they gave it away first and foremost to the frontline folks, and then started selling it. But that's what I'm talking about. They're innovators and they're resilient, and many of them have said, okay, this is new and we've been shut down. We've got to figure out a way to keep running and keep our people employed. And so they've come up with a new way to operate in this new world. And that's what we're saying to Congress, is help them out during this time. And I have to say that our members are very proud people, and they do not like to ask for handouts, but they will ask for assistance if it means helping keeping people employed. It's not for them. And, you know, I just don't, you know, these people, they've had a business in their family for 50 years, passed on from generation to generation. And the thought of having to close the doors forever is, you know, devastating to them. But I am so proud of our small business community when they call, you know, NFIB, and we ask them to share their kind of, we call them hero stories, in how they've transitioned their business in order to help their communities. And it's not making them any money. They're just doing it because they're helping their communities. And that's what they've done since the turn of the century.
You know, I have noticed that some, I thought, gosh, some of these businesses are hurting and they're still giving to the community. You know, they're very generous. Isn't that awesome?
It's amazing. I mean, that's what they are. And that's really why they are the cornerstone of our communities. And, you know, I just want to remind people that for, you know, every $100 you spend at a local business, $68 stays in the local community, as opposed to spending at a national chain, only $23 stays in the local community. And that's actually a stat from the SBA. So just consider that. We just ask people, you know, we NFIB ask people to just consider your local businesses and do what you can. And one quick little story, there's an owner of a couple of car washes in Austin, and he's stayed open during this entire time. He's giving out free car washes. And he's doing that because he's got his employees there. And all he's asking is that you go on to Venmo or there and you tip his employees, that will essentially help him put food on the table. Because you're talking about people that are hourly workers that really, you know, they can't get any other job, frankly. And so he's giving free car washes and just asking his customers to come in and give money to the people that are there working at the car wash. And it's just amazing. I mean, it makes your heart swell. So, you know, and I want to say that for those that are still sort of working through the process on knowing what to do, that NFIB has a COVID resource page, and it's nfib.org. That's our national one. And then for Texas, we have one that's Texas specific that actually gives them information from our Texas Workforce Commission and from the Department of Labor and from our governor's office. And it's, you know, nfib.tx.org. So they can go there and we can help them out. But just mainly know that we're here working 24 hours a day, and we're pressuring Congress, we're pressuring the SBA and the Treasury, and we're pressuring Governor Abbott, who actually has been wonderful to work with, and our policymakers, and just making sure that at the end of the day, the people that we need to take care of are small businesses, because they are the ones that are taking care of their employees and their communities.
I want to thank you for taking this half hour to speak with us. I know you're very busy you've got a lot going on in Austin, being the voice of businesses. And Annie Spillman, she is the state director of NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. You gave a website, Annie. If people need to reach you, if they have a concern, if they want you to do something, let the lawmakers know about this, how do they do that, please?
Yeah, so definitely go to NFIB, N, F as in Frank, I, B as in boy, .org, and you can find us there, and you can actually click to find your state and go to Texas if you don't want to do the backslash. And then our office in Austin is 512-476-9847, and you can reach out to us. We're here for you 24 hours a day, and just know that these lawmakers do consider us a resource. So they reach out to us, and that's why we need y'all to reach out to us, so that we can share your stories and share your concerns and your needs. And, you know, I will say that the governor in his most recent press conference addressed the issues head on that we had addressed with him. And we're proud to say that NFIB was the impetus for the opening of some more businesses. So we are very proud of that.
That is great. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time for us today.
Thank you.